Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Hatton in Jerusalem. Welcome back to our Pardes podcast on Sefer Yonah. Last time, we considered the general breakdown of the book into two almost equal halves, consisting of chapters 1 and 2 on the one hand, and chapters 3 and 4 on the other. Today we'll actually start studying the book, going through each chapter one at a time, and hopefully raising some interesting questions and points to ponder along the way. The book begins with the word of God coming to Yonah ben Amittai, saying, and I'm in chapter 1, verse number 2, Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gidola ukra aleha ki alta ra'atam lefanai. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim judgment upon it, for their wickedness has come before me. Interestingly enough, in Sefer Yonah, we really have no indication as to what the city of Nineveh might be about. But we know from other places in the Hebrew Bible, and certainly from the historical record, that the city of Nineveh was actually a very, very important city in the ancient Near East, and during the 8th century and 7th century BCE, it was the most important city in the ancient Near East. The city of Nineveh is actually the capital of ancient Assyria. Today it's identified with the Iraqi city of Mosul on the northeastern reaches of the Tigris River. So interestingly enough, although the book makes no big deal about it, Yonah is actually being sent to the largest and greatest city that exists in the region during his lifetime in order to proclaim judgment against it because their wickedness has come before God, implying, of course, that God wants them to do tshuva, to repent, and that Yonah is going to be the instrument, as any good prophet would be, to bring that about. Remarkably, however, Yonah arises in the next verse, Vayakum Yonah livroach Tarshisha. Yonah attempts to flee to Tarshish. Tarshish is variously identified either with the city of Tarsus in present-day Turkey, Asia Minor, or perhaps with the city in Spain. Either way, Tarsus is in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. So clearly Yonah is not interested in undertaking his mission and will do anything in order to escape it by fleeing in the opposite direction. The commentaries are intrigued by the fact that Yonah could think that he could actually flee God's presence. Any monotheist in good standing knows, of course, that God is everywhere, that it's not possible to flee his presence. And in fact, a verse in Tehillim, just to reinforce the idea, in chapter 139 proclaims, Ana eleich meiruchecha v'ana mipanecha evrach. Where can I flee from before your spirit, God? And where can I flee from before your face? So clearly the people of ancient Israel understood that God, as the creator of heaven and earth, was omnipresent, and therefore fleeing from his presence wasn't really an option. Therefore, it's sort of a remarkable idea that Yonah thinks he can actually flee from God's presence. Ibn Ezra, a very important 12th century commentary, notes that if we look carefully at the Hebrew does not say that Yonah attempted to flee God's presence, but rather from before God's presence. If I read it inside once again, Vayakum Yonah livroach Tarshisha, it doesn't say mipnei Hashem in verse number three, which would have meant from before God, but rather milifnei Hashem, from before God's presence. Ibn Ezra understands that to mean really in line with the ancient rabbinic interpretation of the moment, that Yonah is not attempting to flee from God, but rather he is attempting to flee from his mission as a prophet, as some sort of a communicator of God's word. How does one flee one's mission as a prophet? So the ancient rabbis understood that prophecy as some sort of an intense and direct connection between God and a human being who receives that prophecy, a Navi, is only possible within the land of Israel, which is associated with a heightened experience of God's presence. But to flee the land of Israel, at least in Yonah's mind, is the opportunity to flee, not from God, but to flee from the prophecy that God would like Yonah to convey. And that's what Yonah is thinking when he goes to Yafo, to Jaffa, located just south of present-day Tel Aviv. He goes to Jaffa, which is a very ancient seaport, and he boards a ship to Tarshish in order to avoid his mission. God, of course, has other plans. Verse number 4 reports, "The Lord cast a mighty wind upon the sea, Hetil ruach gedola el hayam, and there was a great tempest which came upon the sea, and the ship was in danger of breaking up. The sailors cried out, each to his own god. They flung the ship's cargo overboard to make it lighter for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down to Yarkatei HaSifina, the hold of the vessel, where he lay down and fell asleep." This is by far one of the strangest scenes in the book. Here is a tempest tossing the ship. Everyone on board is fairly convinced that the ship is going to break up and sink. And Jonah somehow is managing to sleep through this event as if nothing is happening. In the original Hebrew, the word for falling into a deep sleep in verse number 5, Vayishkav, he lay down, Vayeradam, and he slept very, very deeply. The word is radam. Actually, though, there are similar words that precede this particular usage. If we look carefully at the text, Yonah arose to flee to Tarshish, and he went down to Yafo, Vayered Yafo, and when he enters the ship, in verse number three, Vayered Bah Lavoi Mahem Tarshisha, he went down in the ship to accompany the sailors to Tarshish. So the text reported, Vayered, right, and Yarad, and he had gone down into the ship, and Vayeradam. Now the truth is that it's not the same root. Yarad is to go down, and Radam is to sleep deeply, but clearly the text is attempting to connect those particular verbs and to construct some sort of an image of a human being in deep distress, in deep depression, who is descending to Yafo, descending into the ship, descending into the sea, falling into a deep sleep, even as a tempest rages. We don't know why Yonah attempts to flee. We don't know why Yonah is so upset and depressed. These questions, of course, will remain with us as we make our way through the story. As the ship threatens to break out, to break up, the sailors cry out, each one to their god, in verse number 5. They throw the cargo overboard in order to lighten the load in the hopes of preventing the ship from sinking. And as I pointed out already, Yonah had gone down into the depths of the ship, and he had lied down and fallen into a deep sleep. Verse number 6 reports, Vayikrav Elav Rav HaChovel, the captain of the ship approached him. Hebrew word for that is Rav HaChovel, the chief of those that man the ropes. Chavalim in Hebrew are ropes. Rav HaChovel is the one in charge of the ropes. An ancient sailing vessel has Obviously has sails and has ropes. So Rav HaChuvel is the captain, and the captain approaches Yonah and says, Ma lecha nirdam, how could you be sleeping at a time like this? Kum kra el Elohecha, arise and cry out to your God. Ula yit ashet ha-Elohim lanu velo noved. Perhaps God will be kind to us and we will not perish. Next time, we're going to consider the captain's word a little more carefully and also think about how those words are appropriate for the season during which Yonah, the book of Yonah, is read. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.